What beautiful theology in that hymn, "That we, Lord, truly are thine." At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to pray together the liturgy for Easter, and we'll be doing the first couple pages of that, so please rise at this time. And just a reminder, you may once again respond this time with your mask on. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Sing this aloud, proclaim it to the ends of the earth.
The Lord has set his people free.
Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, we are given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading.
There is honor, glory, and power to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb, forever and ever.
Jesus was handed over to death for our sins,
and was raised to life for our justification.
Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship, can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us.
For we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come,
nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
To God's holy word of Scripture.
Our first reading today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves us has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he is in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love and lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Second reading today is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Amen. Thank you, Ross. We now turn our time, our attention, and our hearts to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. And we remind you once again that we will have our prayers for our people in person from our prayer chain on the screen behind us. Those of you who are joining us online, we encourage you to check out your weekly prayer chain and take some personal reflective prayer time as well. On the prayer concerns that I can share with you, I will share now. And we continue to offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Willie Gardner. Willie was peacefully welcomed home to his Savior last week. A service of remembrance was held last Friday, and it was very touching that Linda and Angie and the rest of the family were able to worship with their mother last Sunday. But we continue to pray for Willie's wife, Doris, for Linda and her sister, for all his grandkids and great-grandkids, and the legacy and memory that he will leave behind as well. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Warren Toyberg Sr. Warren was my wife's Emily's grandfather. We pray for Emily and give prayers of joy for her safe travels to and from Pennsylvania. We pray for all her aunts and uncles, for her mom, for her extended family. And we continue to pray for all of our families who continue to grieve. And we give thanks for a wonderful and joyful life that he lived, 94 wonderful years, all in joy to the Lord. And then I also wanted to share a prayer of joy coming from the Moravian Church Northern Province. Jay Petrella has accepted the call to serve as the pastor of Graceham Moravian Church in Thurmont, Maryland. Jay will be installed at some point this summer as he moves with his family. Many of you know Jay as a son of our congregation. So please pray for Jay, Aaron, and family, and for the Morning Star and Graceham congregation. And you know, I was thinking about this. Graceham has called Pastor Terry, they've called Pastor Sue, and they just called one of the sons of your congregation Jay. So I think you guys need some crab cakes or something coming from Graceham. I think they owe you a little bit. For all that Shenrun has done for them, but we rejoice with Jay as he celebrates this new call. In our wider world, we continue to pray for peace in the midst of so much violence. In the battle of COVID-19, we think especially of India right now and the massive suffering and the overwhelming wave of COVID that they are facing. We ask for continued prayer and support of resources. We ask that everyone in the congregation continue to remain vigilant Yes, COVID has been going on for more than a year, but you can still contract this virus, so please be as vigilant as you can. And we also want to offer prayers of joy for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries in the coming weeks. So we think of Kathy Cummings, Charlotte Menapace, Linda Bennington, and Brock Stafford, who will all be celebrating birthdays this week. And John and Stacy Castor celebrated their anniversary on the 28th as well. So we rejoice with them as well. And I think it's important that we have those joyful reminders around us. So let us take some time to pause and reflect as we uplift some of our personal prayers to God. Timing. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the sunshine that flows in this room. Thank you for reminding us of the signs of spring and Easter in our life. Gracious God, we come before you with so many prayer concerns on our hearts. So many people who have been hospitalized, so many people who are battling COVID, so many people who are grieving and waiting for test results, and so many other different things in our lives. All of us feel little and incomplete and incompatible, but it is you, Savior, who brings us home to you. And it is in your love that we are completed. It is in your love that we see just how compatible we are with your love and with this world. Help us to give thanks for your grace, your mercy, and your love. Help us to know that even in the midst of the struggle, you are with us. So as we look forward this May, help us to be your Easter people, not just one day a year, but every day. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our offering. I want to give thanks to all of you who continue to give. Those of you who still prefer to give in person, there is an offering plate in back. Just so you know, for our offertory prayer, our other of the month, we'll still share it this month, and then we might make some adjustments as we go. But let us take some time to reflect on the tithes, the offerings, and the gifts that we give God. May we please rise and share that together in our offertory song.
Loving Savior, you are the true vine, and we are your branches called us to serve. Help us to give out of the abundance of everlasting fruit we have been given. Amen.
You may be seated. We now turn our attention to our children's chat, a great time for us to interact and respond with one another. At this time, I invite our kids to take out their whiteboards, if they have them, and we can have some time to dig deeper into the scripture text that we have. So what I want to talk to you about today, let me grab one thing quick, is love. And love is a very important word that we hear in Christianity and we hear in life. So the first question I'm going to ask you has to deal with love, and it can be kind of a tough question to think about. But I'm asking you, it's a multiple choice question. So when you think of the word love, is it an action or is it an emotion? So if you think love is more of an action, you can put a big A on your board. If you think it's more of an emotion, put a capital E on your board. So is it more of an action or emotion? A for action, E for emotion. All right, let's see what we got. Emotion, action, emotion, action. Aubrey's got emotion. She's got a B right there. So a lot of good answers there. So I want you to think deeper about this because we just opened the door here. So I want you to keep that question in the back of your mind. So, if I said I love pizza, if I really love pizza, and my family knows that Pastor Ben does, how would I show love? How would I show that I really love pizza? Somebody write down an answer for me. How would I show people that I really love pizza? Oh, McKenna's on it. McKenna, what you got? Eat it. I would eat a ton of pizza. That would be an action. Eat it. Yeah. Eat a lot of pizza. And guess what? Is eating just a ton of pizza enough to show that I love pizza? What if I was eating pizza and every single bite I was going underneath the table and I was spitting it back into my little trash bin right there, giving Jinx, my dog, some more food right there? Would I really love pizza? Do you think people would believe that I love pizza if I did something like that? No, because I have to feel it and I have to act on it as well. What about soccer? How could I show that I love soccer? If I really love soccer, how could I show people that I love playing soccer? Somebody write down an answer for me. How can I show people? Play it. You can play it. Absolutely. Play soccer. That would be a very good way. And guess what? If I played it and every single time I had practice or a game and I just sat there and I threw an attitude at my mom or dad and said, no, I don't want to do this, but I begrudgingly went to the soccer field and I played soccer, do you think my parents would believe I still love soccer? No, I have to want to be there. I have to want to be a part of the game. So it's a feeling and an action. And then here's your last one. How would I show love to my parents? How would my parents know that I love them? Hug them, that's a good one. Hugs, I like that. Honor thy father and mother, we're getting right to our commandments, I like it, McKenna. Absolutely, those are great answers. You have to both feel them, you have to show the affection and the love, and you also have to have the follow through. Because if I said I love my mom and my dad and I disagreed with everything they said and I just showed them nothing but attitude 24/7, do you think they would feel a lot of love reverberating from me? No, they wouldn't. You have to show it as well as feel it. And that's our message today. And it's going to be throughout our sermon that love is, if you look at that first question, is love an action or emotion? It's a trick question. It's both. It has to be half action and it has to be half feeling. And how those two interact with one another is how love becomes so special and so great. And I always want you to remember that love is both an action and an emotion. And it's very, very important to remember. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you for the gift of love. Thank you for reminding us it is both an action and an emotion. And help us to carry it through, not just in our hearts, but in our action towards others. May we be kind and gracious to all our friends, our strangers, and especially our loving family. In your name we pray. Amen. So let us now turn our hearts and our minds to our message today. And we're going to dig deeper into that children's chat we just talked about love not being just an emotion. And when we talk about love, I think one of the favorite places to start is with food, right? We love our food, we love to eat, we love to do all those things. And I've served here long enough to know that we have a lot of good chefs sitting out in our congregations. I've had enough meals at some of your houses where I've invited myself over and I made sure I've got some food from your places. And I've had some terrific food at your houses. And good food is a Moravian tradition. And I always tell people, if you join a Moravian church, you are going to find two things. One is a group of disciples dedicated to teaching the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and something I like to call the Moravian 15 right here, hugging your belt, that you're going to find very quickly when you join a Moravian church. Because I almost feel like we should give you, when you join our church, we should give you two things. A nice, beautiful Bible for you to study with, and maybe a bigger belt for yourself, because we know how much we like to eat as Moravians. And we'd love to share that with people. It's how we show our hospitality, and it's how we show our love. And I'm not that great of a chef, but one of the things I really love about cooking is that for health reasons or other reasons, you can find a ton of reasons to find, or you can find many suitable substitutes in a recipe whenever you're cooking something. You can find many suitable substitutes. Now, if you run out of oil, I've learned that you can use applesauce instead in some cases. If you want to be healthier when you cook, there's tons of substitute options. You can use brown rice instead of white rice, egg whites instead of whole eggs. Do any of you do those types of substitutes at home? Do you switch your rice or your eggs or something like that? I'm sure there's something you do that might be a little bit different than every standard recipe you have. But with substitutes, the quality of the meal can still be satisfying for anyone who tastes it. And I'm sure some of you have had a meal and you thought, wow, that's delicious, and then somebody tells you about a substitution they made after, and you never realized it was even in the recipe that you love. In life, we love to substitute all the time. We trade in our Pepsi or our Coke for something diet or caffeine-free. If we don't have time to read the book for our book club that's about this big, we go to the movie theater. I guess we don't go to the movie theater anymore. We go to Redbox, we get that DVD, or we go to On Demand, and we watch the movie instead. If it's raining on the day we said we would take our family to the park, we might do something else, like play a board game or go to that movie theater instead. There are a lot of good substitutes out there that allow us to live a good and quality life. However, not everything that can or should be substituted in life should, not everything can or should be substituted in life. Not everything should be substituted. Our New Testament text comes from 1 John 4. And it makes it clear that love is an essential for Christians or even human beings. Listen to the text that Ross read for us before from verses 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God. For God is love. Let me say that again. God is love. And what John is saying in this passage, brothers and sisters, is that you cannot be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and be an unloving person. Those are two contradictory terms. They don't fit. They don't mesh. And our purpose as disciples of Christ is to breathe in God's love and pour it out for our neighbors, for our friends, for our families around us. And the process always begins with that first step, breathing in God's love for us and for each other. Because guess what? The saying is true. We cannot give from an empty cup. You can't do it. We have to have an attachment to God's love. And one of the very first things they teach you in parenting classes is something called attachment theory. If any of you have any mental health connections in this world or teaching connections, you've probably heard this theory multiple times. But attachment theory is if a child is neglected and unable to form a strong attachment to a caregiver in the first 10 months of their lives, it will impact their ability to get close to others for their entire life onward. And as I said before, when you hear about attachment theory, it reminds you there are no substitutes for love. And I believe in spiritual attachment theory as well. Jesus puts this another way in our gospel. He says, "He is the vine and we are the branches." See, Jesus realized that everything in this world is connected long before any psychologist did or scientist ever did. Because if you are not connected, if you are not part of the vine, you can't be a part of the branch. We have to be connected to Christ, the source of our love. Because if you aren't, how can you possibly pour out healthy love for others? Because when we try to love without being connected, it's kind of like trying to replace a bad light bulb with a light bulb in your closet that you know is already dead. The one that you changed that light bulb for before about 3 or 4 years ago. Now, you might have a few sparks of light left in that bulb. You might be able to light your house for the rest of that night. But that broken, rundown light bulb will never properly light the house as long and as bright as it should. You have got to go back to the source. You have to find something that is sustainable and renewable and can light the world. And that leads me into the second part of our message, that the love we receive from God has to be poured out for others. They have to experience it too. It has to be an action. Because if someone asks you what benefits a relationship with Jesus Christ has, and all we can tell them is the personal benefits for ourselves, then guess what, brothers and sisters? We are doing the Christian thing wrong if all we can do is list how it impacts us. Love, by its very nature, was created to be shared. Selfless, not selfish. Selfless, not selfish. One of my favorite seminary professors, the Reverend Dr. Craig Atwood, said, "Love is not just an emotion. It is an action." And we show people how we love them by how we treat them, and if we are willing to sacrifice our time and our energy for them. Love is not just this warm, bubbly feeling that we see in the movie theaters or on the Hallmark Channel. It sometimes can be a test of our very nature to see how much we are willing to give of ourselves for the benefit of the people around us. You see, Jesus in his life and his ministry, and especially in his sacrifices, taught us that love is more than a feeling. Emily's uncle Mark shared this quote from the great pastor Charles Spurgeon in a touching eulogy about Emily's grandpa Warren that I was listening to this past week. And Charles Spurgeon said, "Jesus was up on the cross, physically up on the cross, nailing, bleeding, dying, looking down on the people betraying him and forsaking him and denying him, and in the greatest act of love in the history of the universe, he stayed. He stayed right there for you and me. Could have walked away, but he stayed." And that right there, the cross, reminds us that love is not a passive feeling, not a second-hand feeling, but it is a source and a place of courageous strength and bravery. That is why when we don't think we have enough energy or gas in the tank to love other people, we need to take a step back and remember where that source of love comes from in the first place. Take a look at that 1 John passage now and again, because it is such an important passage about love. And notice the greatest miracle in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ started with presence. It started with him showing up to be on the cross. And the interesting thing about it is, if you really think about it, upon the cross itself, Jesus did not perform a single miracle. Nothing special about getting nailed in your hands. Nothing special about bleeding. The only thing special about it was that he had the choice to say no at any time, and he chose not to. He stayed. He showed up when no one else would. He loved others in the very moment they were causing him inhumane amounts of pain and suffering. So we have to think about how that applies to us. Why can we love others when it is so difficult to do so sometimes? Why can we go the extra mile when it comes, or why should we go the extra mile when it comes to kindness and compassion? It is because as Christians, as disciples of Christ, we have witnessed just how deep and how far the source of God's love is. There's literally nothing that God would not do for us. So love is action. It is more than a feeling. We have seen the actions that Christ performed on the cross, and he proved his love for us. What actions in your life are you willing to perform in thanks for the wonderful gift that has been given to you? How are you willing to show the love that has been given to you? Because Christ appreciates our gratitude. What he really craves is our loving actions towards him, towards our neighbors, towards our family, towards everyone. He's looking for disciples who will truly say that I just don't feel love in my heart, but I share it every single day. It pours out of me because it was poured out of Jesus. So let us continue to show the world that love is not just an emotion. It is an action. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the people gathered here. Thank you for the love that is in this building right now. And thank you for the love that you poured out for each and every one of us. Help us to be reminded of the love that we share. Help us to remember to not just feel it in our hearts, but to share it with other people as you shared so humbly for us. Oh, Savior, help us to seek you and remember the humble way of love you taught us. And you remind us that it begins with presence, by showing up for God and showing up for others. In all times and in all places, may we carry your love with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, for copyright reasons, we can't do the closing hymn that I'd like to do, which is Boston, More Than a Feeling. Every time I said that, that song was in my head, but we're not going to do that today. But we do have another great Christian hymn that I think is a great reminder of how far love goes, which is Love Divine, All Love Excelling, which reminds us of that important gift, that love truly impacts us in many ways beyond us. So let us listen now to that beautiful hymn.
Yeah.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. This concludes our worship service for today. We want to thank those of you who are joining us in person and online for being here. And we wish you all a wonderful and beautiful Sunday. Amen. This time we will now dismiss those of us who are in person. Waldo family, go ahead. Go ahead.